to open up the scriptures for us. We can open up our Bibles, but we may not understand, spiritually speaking, what's written thereon. So we trust in the Holy Spirit to open the scriptures for us, and we invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. Not St. John, but 1 John, and the 4th chapter. We are going to try to look at something that I've been trying to look at for all my Christian life since the Lord saved me as a teenager. And now I'm an old man, an old coot, and still looking at it. And it's got more mysterious all along the way. What is your subject, preacher? God is love. That's in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, and 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. But let us begin reading with 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. The proof of your regeneration is having the love of God in your heart. And saying it another way is having God, the love, in your heart. So he says, if you love, you are born of God, and you know God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So 1 John 4, 7, if you have the love of God in your heart, you're born again. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 8, if you don't have the love of God in your heart, you are not born again. People want to have assurance of their faith and assurance that they know the Lord. There it is. Couldn't be any more plain. Let's keep reading. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God so loved, he gave. You can give without loving. It happens at Christmas time all across this nation. People give presents and also on birthdays because it's required of them, because they have to. Very few people give because they love the person and want them to have something, whether the person who gives it gets anything back or not. And so we see that that's the difference between tradition and just giving something because you have to, but also the difference is giving something because you love that person. John 3:16 tells you God so loved that he gave. You can't love without giving, but you can give without loving. So we see that God is love. In this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son, the only Son he had, and he sent him into the world to die. Going to lose his only begotten Son. There's not another one like him, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God. Dear soul, love is not emotion. Let me say that more clearly. Love is not an emotion. People have been brainwashed, and they brainwash others by saying, well, me and my wife, or me and my sweetheart, or whatever, we made love. No, you didn't. You can't make love. You might have had sexual intercourse, but you didn't make love. Love is not an emotion. Love, Romans 13:10, is the fulfilling of the law. That doesn't have any emotion to it. Thou shalt not, so I didn't. Thou shalt, so I did. Why? Because the love of God is in my heart, and I want to do those things that please the Lord. So if you love God, you will obey his laws. And it says, thy word is not grievous to me. Oh, how love I thy law. It's not a grievous thing. Well, you better do this or you're going to hell. That's the wrong approach. Dear soul, if somebody has love in their heart, you don't have to follow them around and fuss at them all the time about not doing this or doing that. They will do it because the love of God is in their soul. That's the difference between the regenerate and the unregenerate. That's the difference between the true born-again child of God and just the religious church member. They're just doing it because they're supposed to do it. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. King James reads, he has sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Look that word up. It means the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. That's true. Before there was anything created, before there was atmosphere, before there was light or life, God was. Jesus said, I believe it's John 8, he said, before Abraham was, I am. They started gathering up stones immediately to kill him because the Messiah that they were looking for was standing right there in front of him, but they didn't like the package that he was presented in. He should have been a king to overthrow the Roman government and lead them into rebellion against the Romans. But here he is, a little sacrificial lamb. So we understand, dear soul, that we have not seen God at any time. And before there was atmosphere, before there was anything in existence except God, love didn't have a face. I can't think about that. I don't know how to think about that. Before there was anything, not an angel, there wasn't light or darkness, there was just God existing. And so, God, how do you describe that God that existed prior to creation? God is love. Love existed. And we're going to look at, Lord willing, the characteristics of love, and we want to see unity with God, God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the unity of God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, unity with God, our being united with God by having that love within our own self. So we see that no wonder the angels gathered around that house where they came to see the young child where he was. Suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host as the shepherds abode in the by night watching their flocks. And they all wanted to see him. Glory to God in the highest. What is God's highest glory? Peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Love is expressing itself in giving. He wants to give peace to men, not willing that any of God's elect should perish, but that at all should come to repentance. While we were God-hating rebels, God saved us. You didn't do good in order to be saved. You did good because you have been saved. No sinner ever wanted a new heart until he already had one. God did that. Love is the beginning. Love is the principle of repentance in the human heart. God did it. Listen, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. So we've come to understand and see that the assurance of godly salvation, the assurance of hell escaping, sin denying, and holiness involving is love, God dwelling in us. And so that loving heart will express itself in the same way that God expressed himself towards you as a sinner. So if you love one another, it's because God dwells in you. That it's as simple as that. Now, this was written, 1 John chapter 4, this was written by, quote, the disciples, singular, whom Jesus loved, quote, unquote. That was John. That phrase appears four times in your Bible. John 13:22, John 20:2, John 21:7, John 21:20. So four times in the scriptures, it identifies the Apostle John as the one whom Jesus loved. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ did come back in the Spirit and present himself to Saul of Tarsus and smote him off his high horse as he was riding down the road to Damascus in order to kill these rebellious people that call themselves Christians. But the Lord Jesus Christ did come and present himself to this particular apostle. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Four times it says that. So this was a person in whom was the love of God. So God the love came to one with the love of God and presents himself to John and lets him write these things to us. Things that are deeper than just little religious conformity. Just death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Well, you don't have anything but, facts about Christ when you say that. But if you have true Christianity, you have the benevolent kindness of God's love in your heart. God in you cannot operate and be any different than God in the humanity of Jesus Christ. Brother Gene, dare you say that? Yes. God dwelling in you will bring about the characteristics and the love that he brought about when he showed us the true example of God, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. Here's this great farmer, lives in a magnificent house, got great wealth, made all kinds of money off of his farming, and the light comes in the morning and shines in that crystal chandelier that his wife had to have there in the dining hall. You say, well, that's beautiful. Look at the colors. Look how it gleams. Yeah, but come with me out behind the barn. Out behind the barn where they pile the manure from the cattle and the horses. And that same light shines into that manure pile and makes it steam, and you begin to smell the stench of it. You say, what's your point, preacher? When the light withdraws itself at even, in the evening, when it withdraws itself from the crystal chandelier, is it any better? No, it's the same light. When the light withdraws itself from that manure pile, is it any worse? No, because love is persistent and consistent, and love is of God, and love is God, and God is love, and you can't change it. So God's love in you is not made better or worse. It's God's love, and therefore it's pure love, and no matter whose heart and whose chest it beats in, and whose character it enthralls and brings it into a God-likeness, it does not enhance God. But it does enhance us if we are, if we have love of God in our heart. Let me read you something and quit studying around up here. I knew I was in over my head this morning when God gave me this subject. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, and he lists them out in, from verse 19 all the way down through verse 21. And he says, and they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So Galatians 5, 19 through 21 lists you the works of the flesh, the works, plural, the multiplicity of evil. All kinds of stuff comes from that which is born of the flesh. Verse 22, but the fruit, singular, not works, plural, as in verse 19 of the flesh, but the fruit, singular, of the Spirit, here is all of that it brings forth. And what's the very first fruit that you read in Galatians 5 and verse 22? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. first thing out of, you know, the first pee out of the dish, as they say, love. This old, it doesn't make any difference what you, responsibility you take on in the kingdom of God, and you say, well, I do this or I do that for the Lord, and okay, that's great and good. But the essence of a Christian, no matter how you express it, well, I'm a female, so I can't be a pastor. I'm a male, but I'm not a pastor or a preacher. I'm a deacon. Well, whatever you do to work in the kingdom of God, every joint supplies. The essence of that which you are, that is in commonality with every other true born-again Christian, is love. The fruit of the Spirit, the very first thing is mentioned, is love. So the love of God is the fruit of the Spirit. You cannot fail to have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit comes from the branches. The branches are supported by the vine. The vine has the root. The root is the one that draws the nourishment and nutriments from the soil to bring it up to cause the branches to be able to bring forth fruit. We are in Christ, and it is Christ in us by the Holy Spirit that causes us to have the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. But it's manifest in a multiple in multiple ways. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering. Let me read it. I'm going to misquote it. Galatians 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You can't legislate this. Now, love is the fulfilling of God's law, but the law does not control or define love. It does not have the ability to say, this is what you should do or this is what you should. Love fulfills the law and not the other way around. God is said to be love. Now, let me ask you something. In the book of Isaiah, when you find the angels standing in the presence of God, they're singing one word three times. What is it? Holy, holy, holy. Let me ask you this. Why did God not say in his Bible, God is holiness? Because he did not want you to think that you had to do some work to be born again. You do not have to strive to be holy in order to manifest a true righteousness. That which you need to express is not expressed by us as far as originating it. It is the love of God in our hearts, shed abroad in our hearts. So it doesn't say God is holiness, although he is. And there is no unrighteousness in him at all. In him there is no darkness at all. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. He cannot be evil. He cannot sin. Sin came into the world through the disobedience of an archangel. Jesus said, the devil is the one that brought in the lie. The devil is the one that brought in death and darkness and transgression. So that's totally contrary to the being and essence of God. God is not holiness. That's not how it describes him, although there is none as holy as he is. And if we are holy, we get that from him. But it doesn't say that. You need to stop and think this morning, dear Christian. Listen, dear religionist, you need to understand. God will define himself perfectly. And he says, God is love. But that does not mean that God is not holy. For the holiness is by the fulfilling of the law, which is prompted by love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. That's what it does. Let me go on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and look at some of the characteristics of love. And I want you to think about God prior to creation. God in his invisible essence. God abiding in himself, perfectly satisfied with himself. He was not lonely because love does not seek its own self. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, that's the same word, have not charity, I'm nothing. I'm as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. You can have all kinds of things but not have love, and you don't have the essence of holiness and glory. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. So all of this stuff that you could have, and maybe some do have and express themselves because they're holy, doesn't mean that they know God. It doesn't mean that they are born again. It doesn't mean that they shall have eternal peace and glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that they shall go to heaven. Although they want to lord over you and tell you that you're not as holy as they are. God doesn't do that. Love is not like that. Let's read on. In verse 3, 1 Corinthians 13, 3. And though I bestow all my goods, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Oh, look how great he is. He was martyred in the flames of martyrdom. He must really be in heaven facing it profit, not if he didn't have love in his heart. Listen. All right, verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm reading the King James, and it's going to say charity, and it's talking about love. Exactly the same word in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, God is love. Same word here, quote, or translated, charity. Love suffereth long and is kind. That is missing in America today. That is missing in men's hearts today, in humans' hearts today, who say they are born-again Christians. They're not kind. Therefore, they can't be born-again Christians. They don't suffer long with anybody. They don't tolerate anybody. Charity envieth not. God in his essence, prior to created order, prior to let there be, prior to there being anything but God, no atmosphere, no light, no darkness, no angels, nothing. God was not envious of anything. He was perfectly satisfied within himself. Listen. Charity, and the King James says, vaunteth not itself. It means it doesn't bring itself out and display itself for its own boastful imaginations. God didn't create in order to show how great he was. God was great whether he created or not. Because God is love. Total perfection. Did not seek his own. Was not trying to display himself and seek his own glory, is not puffed up, is not haughty. Well, we don't associate with those people. But I'm a Christian. I'm in charge of so-and-so down there at the church house. You don't know God from third base. That's not how God is. God, charity, love, verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. Charity, God's love, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Love beareth all things. believeth all things. How can love believe if it is an emotion? It can't be an emotion. Love is not an emotion. Well, you should have seen old Joe and Jill. Boy, they were just so much in love. They just couldn't keep their hands off one another. And they just had to get married. And you know, about a year and a half later, they can't stand one another. What happened? It wasn't love. There comes upon human beings, and it's natural and normal, just like it's normal for that little infant to come into the world knowing how to nurse. If it didn't, it wouldn't survive. Who teaches that baby how to nurse? Nobody. It's just the way that it is. And there comes a time in a man and woman's life when there seems to be an attraction one to another that is a fiery spirit. And it's manifested in our songs. It's manifested in our movies. It's manifested in society. It's manifested, dear soul, that people just can't seem to keep their hands off one another. But it only lasts for a few months. It only lasts for a year and a half or so. And next thing you know, they're down at the courthouse wanting to get a divorce, and they ask them why. Because we don't love each other anymore. Then it wasn't love. You don't understand that the fiery lusts of sexual attraction is not love. Well, we're going to go back in the bedroom. We're going to make love. You can't make love. You're just talking about being the flames of lust coming up in you, and you doing that, which naturally is as natural as that child, that infant coming out of its mother's womb, being cast back upon the mother's breast, knows exactly what to do, and it sustains its life by nursing. Who taught it how to suck? Nobody. Who teaches those birds to fly all the way up from Canada down to Mexico every year? How do they know how to migrate? Nobody taught them. God put that instinct within them. And dear soul, love is not an emotion. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, the apostle is writing to the people and is telling them to set your affections on things above. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. And he says in verse number 5 of Colossians chapter 3, mortify, that is, make dead your members, that is, the various parts of your flesh and your body and your affections. You get a hold of them, or else they will ruin your life. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Listen. Fornication, uncleanness, the next thing, inordinate affections. What is an inordinate affection? It's an affection that, quote, goes beyond the normal limits. Evil concupiscence. What in the world is that? Did you hear anybody last week use the word concupiscence? No, you didn't. What does it mean? It's a 1611 King James word that means evil lusts. You make dead those evil lusts and covetousness, which is idolatry. How in the world can covetousness be idolatry? Because you make an idol out of those people that have stuff that you want. And you say, I want to be like that and I want that. And next thing you know, it's become your idol. We need to understand, dear soul, that we're fighting not only the things outside of thieves and liars and all that kind of stuff, but inside of us, we need to make dead these things and understand that which we call love, which we're only speaking of flaming affections of lust, is not love. God is love. And love seeketh not its own. It does not want somebody else to be under submission to them in order that they might satisfy their hunger from these natural affections. Love seeketh not her own. So we understand and see that there is that unity of God. For Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And that John chapter 6 and verse 57 has just really stuck with me since we preached on it a few weeks back. And it still stays in my mind. And he says in John 6, let's read 56. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. We have a hard time understanding that. It means appropriating God to you, yourself by faith and depending and living off of the person of God. Yes, we know we need to have a meal, a natural meal, to sustain the body. But, dear soul, you need to have a spiritual meal to sustain the spirit. So he says, the disciples came back and said, Lord, eat. He said in John 4, 23 and 24, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. And the brother was just reading me in the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was led up in the spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he hungered, and he didn't eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights to get that flesh out of the way. And first thing the devil asked him, if you be the Son of God, prove it by feeding your flesh. And there, so we're under the same temptation. We want to show people that we know God because what? God pays our bills. God heals our sick. We want God to prove himself and jump through hoops to show that we are Christians. And he said, listen, I need to deny my flesh. Man shall not live by bread alone. Yes, man shall live by bread. And he said the bread by bread alone. Yes, it is essential. But the spiritual man, denying the inordinate affections, lives by every word that cometh out of the mouth of God. So we understand and see that the Lord Jesus is saying, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you dwell in me and I in him. Now listen at verse 57. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father. How does the Son of God live as God the Son? He draws his life from the Father. As the living Father sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Your regeneration in being cast, as it were, like the babe back upon the mother's body to receive the nourishment from her breast, that spiritual soul is cast back upon Christ to feast upon him. You pray to him every day. You draw strength from him. You meditate upon him. You offer him praise and thanksgiving. You have to be careful. It says, he that offereth praise glorifieth me. How do you glorify God? By giving him the credit. Neither were they thankful, so their foolish heart was darkened. We learn to be thankful for everything. Did you ask God to help you in a situation? Yes. Was he a very present help in a time of that need? Yes, he helped me. Did you go back and thank him? I have to be careful about that, preacher. Why? Because I get so excited about the problem being solved, and I enjoy the release of all that stress, till I just get caught up in the happiness of it and I forget to go back and thank God. Dear soul, you better be careful. 10 men were healed of their leprosy. No doubt about it. One man came back to thank the Lord, and Jesus said he was a stranger because he was not a Jew. Who is this stranger that's come back? And so he came back and thanked the Lord. He wasn't so thrilled over being cleansed in an inordinate way that he forgot God. Be careful, dear Christian. You need to be careful with your inordinate affections, affections that go beyond the limit. Well, my child was sick, or I had a debt, or whatever. I needed a job, and God came through. Yes, thank God. Ask and you shall receive. You ask, you receive. But did you remember to get a hold of those inordinate affections that just wanted to throw a party and tell everybody how happy you were except God? That's not God's love, dear soul. That's not acting out God's love. God's love seeketh not its own, but we seek our own. We say, Lord, I needed something, and it was provided. So I'm so happy that now I got what I want that I forgot God. Be careful, dear soul. God is love. And therefore, we understand and see that love is not an emotion. It is a character of being. And if you want to know the character of being that God is, just read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 over and over until you understand it and you meditate on it. And if you need to, get you a New King James Bible. I can't believe I'm saying that. But get you an Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible takes the Greek words and amplifies them. It don't translate them. It amplifies them. And read it until you understand and see what God is, and train yourself to be God-like and understand, yes, God is holy, but it doesn't say God is holiness. It says God is love. Therefore, I need to define myself in the character of God's love. And again, it will fulfill the law. Romans 13:10. I've already said that. But the characteristics of God's love is manifest in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, dear soul, unity with God. John 6:57. I have unity with God because God is granting me to have the same life through Jesus Christ that he applied and appropriated to his only begotten Son. That's hard to wrap your head around, but you need to read John 6:56 and 57 and see if it doesn't get you out into water that's over your head, just like me in this message. And I feel like I'm failing miserably just talking about stuff and not really bringing forth the trueness of it. I pray that God will help you by the Holy Spirit and not hinder you by this preacher. Now, that is unity with God, God's love in us. Now, what about the unity of God? Let's let God tell us. John chapter 17. The book of John chapter 17. And this is Jesus' high priestly prayer. If you will have it, this is the Lord's Prayer. The one we quote is the disciples' prayer. All right, John chapter 17 and verse 22. Here we go into the midst of the Lord Jesus Christ praying out on the mountain just before Judas comes and identifies him and they take him to be crucified. How in the world do we have these words? The disciple whom Jesus loved was there. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he shall bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have commanded you. And God caused John to remember these things, and he wrote them down. And I don't know how in the world I was blessed enough to have it, an old sinner like me, an old poor housing project lad like me, raised up in a federal housing project. Dear soul, poor and undone and unworthy. And here I am reading the holy words of Jesus Christ as he poured himself out to the Father on that lonely mountainside with the disciples asleep. And now I have the words and I can listen in to his prayer. It's amazing, dear soul, that we have public prayer that edifies us. And there have been brothers in the church that have greatly edified our souls as they begin to pray and speak to the Lord by the Holy Spirit. But this is beyond that. This is God, the eternal Son. I and the Father are one. This is God, the love, speaking to the Father who is love. And he's speaking about us. So this is the unity of God. John chapter 17, verse 22. The words of Jesus Christ. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. My goodness. Take off your shoes. This is holy ground. God the Son saying, you gave me glory, I gave it to them. Why? That they may be one, even as we are one. That's John 6:57. As the Father hath life in himself and giveth me to have life in myself, even so I give it to you as you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Your regeneration is but a picture and a continuation of the incarnation. How do you come to the Lord? How do you come to God the Father? Through Jesus the Son. The glory that thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I, Jesus Christ, in them, in the believer, and thou in me. Since God is in Jesus, and Jesus gives himself to be us, in us, then God the Father and God the Son are in us. John 14 and verse 26. I'll be right back. But the Comforter, no, I want 23. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Can you believe it? That's God who is love. That's not God saying God is holiness, and he is holy. But it don't say God is holiness, it said God is love. Therefore, he brings himself to bear upon us in such a way as he dwells in us as he dwells in his Son. My word. Back to John 17, verse number 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, in God the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, how? As thou hast loved me. Christian, you need to quit thinking the way that the harlot church has trained you to think, well, if I have faith, then I'm going to go to heaven. Get beyond that. Of course you are. But dear soul, identify yourself with the glory of Jesus Christ, and the glory of God the Father is in him, and God is going to love you, and God does love you in the same way that he loves Christ. You need a promotion. You need to get in on the glory. You need to quit thinking of yourself as, well, if I just do good enough, God. Oh, come on, man. This thing is far higher than that. There was an eternal sacrifice of the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, sacrificed himself in order that the flow of the Father's love may come through him by the Spirit to you, so that you would understand and experience and see and sense that God loves you as same as he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. You better believe it, because that's the truth. Listen. Verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. That's not just talking about being in my presence. It is talking about that, but it's talking about more than that. Why? That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. What's the glory based on? For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Being with me and seeing my glory entails the love of God being in them, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Hold your place. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. The book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We're being blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, when did he start loving Christ? He just said, before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:4. According as he, God the Father, has chosen us in him, God the Son, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Your holiness is bound up and derived from God's love placed in you and given to you before the foundation of the world. The same as it was through the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 17 and verse number 24, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, and he did you too. If you're born again, you're not an afterthought with God. God don't make no mistakes, and God don't have no grandchildren. He birthed you because he wanted you to be with him. He birthed you and saved you on purpose, and it can't be undone. And it was done this way and no other way, that the love that was in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ from the God the Father is the pattern of the love that's going to be in you from the Lord, through the Lord Jesus Christ, from God the Father. It can't be any other way. God don't have two methods. It's either this or it's not. You're either loved of God and have the love of God in you, and the love of the Father dwells in you in the same way that the love of the Father dwelt in the Son, or you're not in. Do you still say you're a Christian? Then this is the way that it is. Verse number 25, John 17. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. How do they know that? And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherein thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Isn't that amazing? How do you know that Jesus Christ came? Because the Holy Spirit has caused him to come to you. And God don't have no bargain basement righteousness. God has come to you by the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ and his righteous blood, and through the same line that he came to Christ. Our time is almost gone, dear soul. Listen, there's so much in this. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let me ask you a question. What is your hope of being in glory? You say, well, I have a verse. Quote it to me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Right? Yep. Christ being in you is the hope that you shall be glorified. Exactly. And dear soul, I don't have to wait on the perception of that glory. I can know through Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit is, he brings all those characteristics of God's love into us as individuals through and appropriated by faith, by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord brings us into the awareness of the love of God the Father, because he is connected to the Son by love, and the Son is connected to us by love through the Holy Spirit. So God the Father loves you in the same way that he loves God the Son. That's the way that it is. I in them and thou in me, that they may be one in us. That's what he says in verse 22 of John 17. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. What's it going to be like to go to heaven? I don't know. I hadn't been there. But dear soul, one thing I do know, the prerequisite for knowing that you shall be in God in eternity and God shall be in you in all eternity is the Holy Ghost appropriating Christ and his love from the Father to you right now. Right now. Listen. In Revelation 2 and verse 17, the book of the Revelation chapter 2, in verse 17, and I hope this don't make things worse for you. It's in the realm of the Spirit, but it's yours through the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna. M-A-N-N-A. I will give to him to eat of the hidden manna. What is the hidden manna? No. Who is the hidden manna? I am the bread of God sent down from heaven. He that eateth me hath life. And as the Father hath given me to have life in him, even so do I give you to have life in me by you eating my flesh and drinketh my blood. John 6:57 again. This old being a Christian is a whole lot more than just stop sinning and get out of iniquity and transgression and come into the place of holiness. It's good that you do. I'm glad that the gospel has a powerful effect upon people to clean up their lives. But you have to be careful, because we've read you that passage in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22, and it tells you that dogs can vomit, and people who are not sheep vomit out their bad habits, and they get on the straight and narrow, and they live pretty good for a while. And sows get out of them wallowing in the mire, and they get away from all those ungodly things of iniquity and sins and transgressions. But their nature's not changed. They're still sows and dogs, and you need to be careful. You need to make sure that you manifest to yourself by the power and the appropriation of the Holy Spirit that God's love dwells in you. And you need to get into the depth of these things. And you need to accept and receive that God loves you in the same way that he loves his Son. It's the same love. I in them and thou in me, that we may be made perfect in one. That's God's intent. He didn't save you to keep you out of hell. He saved you for his glory. And dear soul, you need to get into the appropriation of that glory. And you need to get into these kinds of messages and study and see what the disciple whom Jesus loved said to you by the Holy Spirit. Again, I hope that I am not hindering you from seeing the depth of these things. I know I cannot show you the depth of these things. Only the Holy Spirit can. They shall all be taught of God. But dear soul, I want you to make sure you seek these things, that you prepare yourselves. You're going into an existence that is going to be different from anything that you know. Every Christian that you know that departed from this life, you stood there by the graveside and watched them lower his or her body into the ground. And you say, they're in their eternal glory. Really? Yep. Yeah, you're right. They are. They're in the presence of God. You just put their body in the ground. But then, does that not have any message to us that we should quit trying to flavor our life with the satisfaction of the flesh, which we're going to leave? And does it not make you want to understand and see that you must try to enhance your consciousness and your learning and your awareness of God by that Spirit that shall be called back to God? We need to quit trying to be moralists so much so that we cease to be spiritual. We need to feed the spiritual man. We need to mortify, make dead these inordinate affections. And we need to understand that the world is trying to indoctrinate us and brainwash us and show us the bachelor as he goes with these several women, and we see all that junk, and oh, he gave her a rose because of such wonderful affection. What happened to those bachelors a year ago? Where are they now? Are any of them still with those women? Dear soul, we're in a mess. It's inordinate affection. Well, we need a divorce. Why? Because we just don't love each other anymore. Then you never did. For love seeketh not its own. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the staying around and helping raise those children and helping cause that wife to be able to come to know what it's like to have a physical human male spirit in her life so that she'll know how to bow under King Jesus. We need to stay in that marriage because that husband needs to know that he's going to go to heaven to be part of a bride. And he needs that femininity of that spiritual child of God to be able to appropriate to him an awareness of God made these two one flesh. Husbands, love your wives. How? As Christ loved the church. Was it simply physical? No. Was it simply just emotional? No. I'm going away from you. Does that sound like it's inordinate affections? They didn't like that. He had to do what was best for them. That's what love does. Love, dear soul, is manifest by saying, that's what God is. But this foolishness that we got on earth, it does not manifest God to us whatsoever. And we need to get back to knowing that God is love and get into the depth of this thing. And I pray for you. I know you prayed for me. I thank you for that more than I could tell you. Greatest gift you could give me is your prayers. And I want you to know that I pray for you because I feel the lack and the inability of myself to comprehend all of this. So I know that you have that same inability. And I pray for you because of the weakness of my own self that God would help you in this matter. May God help us. Thank you for the opportunity of coming to your place to bring to you that which I could not even wade out into and get my ankles wet, much less swim into the vastness of the ocean of God's great love. May God bless you. Thank you.